We're going to come back in a moment and begin another hour of Open Lines. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. By the way, Dick Morris is going to be my guest on Tuesday for the first 2 hours, talking about some other issues. But I've got to talk to him about this book, Armageddon, that he has written. And I'm just curious why he spent 20 years working with the Clintons, and now he's turned on her. I have to find out why. What does he know? And why did he stay so long if he knew it with them for 20 years? Well, that he's going to be my guest for a couple hours, so make sure you tune into that program. And this weekend, by the way, Saturday, Connie Willis will man the ship. And then my buddy George Knapp on a Sunday. And one of his segments, he'll be talking about the Forrest Ackerman home in Los Angeles. And it's haunted. They had a seance there, so he's going to be talking about it. As a matter of fact, the president of ParanormalDate.com, Mark Rawlings, is going to be on his show because he is involved in that whole situation. It's going to be an amazing story. So let's go back to the phones. Tom's got a couple more texts he'll have for us for this hour. And let's go to Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. Hello, Gordon. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for putting me back on to make up for last night. You know, it was kind of good that I didn't get on last night because I have this huge problem, and I've been meaning to call and ask for y'all's help.
All right.
In the angel situation, those questions were important, but they were difficult and can wait. My congressman, Dennis Ross, in Florida, Lakeland, between Tampa and Orlando, said something real unusual in a town hall meeting. It was public, and I tape-recorded it, and it's posted on my website. He's a Republican, and we're supposed to be good, but we veered off. He admitted, when I pinned him down, yeah, college students should get bankruptcy like everyone else does. And he said one step further, we shouldn't even be, that would be a cure. And he said one step further, we shouldn't even have taxpayer dollars guaranteeing these loans in the first place, which is preventative.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see where I'm going with this. I wanted to ask you.
Let me just say one quick thing. And what you just mentioned was, it is exempt to file bankruptcy to wipe out student loan debt. You can't do it in bankruptcy, and that's what you were saying.
It's almost impossible, so more or less you can't.
Okay, right.
So it's possible, but it's real, real hard. So just let's say you can't.
Exactly.
Okay, the standards are next to impossible.
Yeah, it's tough.
Okay, so the bottom line is, so now the humanitarian side of it is, well, if all these criminals with credit cards that are drug users can get bankruptcy, and if these rich people get bankruptcy millions of times, then why can't a college student? But there's one other side of it, and that is that if the taxpayer dollars are guaranteeing these toxic predatory loans, college debt has surpassed credit card debt for the first time in history, and you have million-dollar presidents and million-dollar coaches. It's going to crash the U.S. dollar if we don't stop this. And college used to be free. Bernie Sanders, I'm a conservative, but Bernie Sanders is right. College used to be free in America for many colleges, and in Germany it is free. And if there's a good case for free college, how much more case is there to have the students to at least get bankruptcy as a curative and to get the tax dollars out to start lowering the loan limits,
mm-hmm.
a preventative measure. And I wanted to not only get your opinion, but I actually have audio up of that town hall meeting on my webpage, and I wanted your blessings and permission to throw it out, because if Congress doesn't do anything, it's going to crash our economy. And I wanted your opinion on this. Check your email. I did email you.
Okay.
And I'm friends with Alan Collins. Okay, so, Alan Collins is one of your guests.
Oh, he's great when it comes to student loans.
Yes, he enlightened me. I'm the smartest cat in the world, but I'm only a cat. I'm passing myself off as a human. He was the one that showed me that returning bankruptcy would scare off the lenders, and it would lower the tuition, because the lenders would know they can't lend to the students, and the colleges and the banks would stop. I don't hate the colleges and the banks. I'm a Republican, okay? I'm a conservative. But look, they make enough money. This will save the taxpayer dollar, because there won't be any backing or guaranteeing of toxic loans that is now, it's past credit cards.
Sure.
And it's going to crash.
Oh, it's huge. Now, let me ask you the devil's advocate question here.
Sure.
By the way, and I want to preface it by saying, I'm paying and help paying college student loans for two of my kids.
Hey, go for it.
Okay, but nobody forced my kids to go to school, to go to college. I didn't force them to do that. I encouraged them to go, and they went. And we have incurred student loan debt because we had them in college. So my question is, nobody forced all these kids to go to college, and they got this debt because they signed for it. Nobody forced them to sign for it.
Right.
Or here's the devil's advocate portion of it.
Sure.
We still need an education. People want to go to college. It's almost like they're trapped. Darned if they do and darned if they don't.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
So that's that whole thing. They're trapped.
The devil's advocate is on both sides. So I'll give you a correct answer to your question. First off, the student loans used to have bankruptcy, but they changed the rules of those loan contracts, and they violated the U.S. Constitution. And that's a violation. How would you like it if you had an insurance policy, and then when you went to cash in, oops, they changed the rules?
Yeah, you can't get your money.
They did not even tell the students that the current students don't even have bankruptcy protection. That's deceptive practices. And the third thing is there's a monopoly where it's just like you said, if you don't go to college, you might be a burger flipper, and if you do go to college, you'll be in debt for life. Here's my question to you. If college was free in the past and it was the best in the world, how come it's so high now? And Bill Bennett, with the Bennett hypothesis, and Ron Paul both said, when anytime you subsidize something, it goes up. And so I'm calling upon my congressman to not only put bankruptcy, which is the sword, the economic Second Amendment, back into the hands of the student to fend off as a curative measure, but also to get the college subsidies out. So when there's no subsidies, then they'll know that the students are not able to do that, and then the tuition will come down.
It's got to come down, Gordon. Do you know what they pay college football coaches?
Yeah, that's part of the problem, but that's also a symptom. So can I throw my websites out there?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm Gordon Wayne Watts, GordonWayneWatts. And if you go to GordonWayneWatts.com, that's HostGator. And if you have problems, go to GordonWatts.com, that's GoDaddy. If you have a flat tire on the information highway, and as soon as you go there, you'll see that Dennis Ross is a good guy. He one time did something like this before, and Speaker of the House, Marco Rubio, of the Florida Speaker of the House, back when he was in the State House, he threw off Dennis Ross when he was a state rep for getting taxpayer dollars out of Citizens Bank or something like that. And Dennis Ross really wants to do the right thing. He's a good guy. He did a lot of good things that I can't go into for the sake of time, but they're in my editorial. And so you'll see Dennis Ross's smiling mug, and my web trackers will go off the chart.
And let me ask you this, Gordon.
Wayne Watts in Lakeland between Orlando and Tampa will have a million hits, and I have the professional
I hope you do.
Hit it as hard as you want.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Why are you into this topic?
Well, here's the thing. It's even though I have income-based repayment, and I pay 10% of discretionary income, which is 10% of zero for me, I'm protected, but the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. And I'm going to make a prophecy. I'm going to make a prediction, and my name is behind this. You know who I am. I'm a real person. If they don't put a stop to this, it will crash the U.S. dollar, because second probably only to military spending or something like Social Security. This is the greatest threat to our economy, because the taxpayers back these predatory loans, and the colleges charge huge amounts because they know that the taxpayer backs it.
Sure.
You get the taxpayer out of that, there's no skin in the game for them to do that, and there is skin in the game or an incentive for them to stop being predatory lending or subprime.
Give out your website one more time.
Yeah, GordonWayneWatts.com. Is the HostGator over in Texas, where everything's bigger.
All right, very good, Gordon. Thank you. Text message, Tom. What do we have back there?
Enlightening and scary, huh?
Yeah.
So, by the way.
Slinky.
By the way, you can't tell 3 million people.
5 million.
What a cobbler is, and then find a caller who doesn't know, because they're all listening. It's not a fair poll.
Look, how old are you?
Anyway, what?
You're not going to tell us that. You should know what a cobbler is.
My point is, I don't think everybody knows.
Producer of a national show, you should know what a cobbler is.
I don't think everybody does. This is from Serena in Washington, D.C. What do you think is the greatest sleeper movie of all time?
The greatest sleep? You mean a movie we fell asleep in?
No. A sleeper movie that doesn't get a lot of promotion, and then you find it years later, and it's like, oh, this is great. But you never really heard of it.
You know, there have been some movies. I just saw one with Tom Selleck on Netflix where he was a airline maintenance supervisor.
I've seen it, yeah.
Ended up in prison because of some bad cops. There are a few there, and there's not a lot of them, but there were in this movie.
That would be a sleeper.
That was a sleeper movie that when you watch it, it's great. I don't think it did well at the box office at all.
That's why it's a sleeper.
Don't even know the title of the movie.
You don't remember
I can't remember the title.
Do you remember the one I asked you to watch a couple months ago and you watched and you loved, Law Abiding Citizen?
Yes.
That was a good sleeper.
Those are sleeper movies.
Those are.
But I bet they were cheap to make, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's the greatest thing about Hollywood. They spend little on any movie and they make a lot.
I got to tell you this. My book, Night Talk, the novel, mm-hmm. comes out on the 26th, Tuesday, next week.
We have copies.
And I got a call from a couple producers here and in New York, and they really are serious about making it a weekly drama TV show.
That would be awesome.
Isn't that cool?
That would be very cool.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, I won't be. They wanted me to do like a Hitchcock bit part where I'm in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But
cameo.
But they would love to get, I don't know if I should say this, Bryan Cranston.
Oh, my gosh.
To be the talk show lead in this.
He's hot right now.
Yeah. I wonder if he'd do that.
You know?
That would be big.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Let's go to Zach in Temecula, California. Hey, Zach, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, so real quick, two things before my my question or well, statement, really.
Sure.
Law Abiding Citizen was a great movie. Saw that, and I completely agree with Tom.
Who was in that one?
That Jamie Foxx and Gerard Butler.
Jamie's great. I like him.
Oh, he is. He is. And Gerard Butler just, I mean, his role he played in that is perfect for him. So, and second off, for Mr. Gordon, there's one way in the United States you can earn free college, and that is to raise your right hand and earn the GI Bill.
You're right
and
about
I'll tell
that.
You what, and I did that, and that saved me a ton of money. So,
Is it only good for your bachelor's degree, or can you do it again for the master's and PhD?
It's good for your bachelor's degree. It's the post 9/11 GI Bill, and you get 36 months of paid tuition, and they also give you a housing allowance too.
At the school.
For that.
Okay, or wherever you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, correct. So
that is great. What did you get a degree in?
I got my degree in aviation maintenance.
Oh, good. Oh, geez. Just like the Tom Selleck movie we're talking about.
Yeah. It's funny when you're saying that. Exactly. So I work in San Diego on the Navy base, actually on a contract work. So it's pretty, it worked out really well. I'm really happy with it.
Have you spotted or fixed something on a plane before it went up? And had you not, something could have happened?
Not yet.
That's good.
I'm sure that will happen, though, so I haven't got to that point yet. So the gentleman you were talking with earlier, that was the motocross rider.
Yeah.
You guys kind of got on the subject of motorcyclists splitting lanes in California.
Well, that's dangerous, isn't it?
It is. I agree with you. And I don't ride motorcycles anymore because I have wife and kids now, so I kind of...
Smart.
Got away from that, and you know they need a dad and a husband.
Yep, so. I agree.
But I miss it, and once you ride, you get an itch all the time. That's just the way it is. So the reason why motorcyclists a lot of times split lanes in Southern California. I lived in Barstow for a couple years. I was stationed up there in the military.
Uh huh.
And when it gets really hot, a lot of motorcycles are air cooled. So if you were to stop
and go.
Really hot, your motorcycle actually has a switch or in the computer in the motorcycle has a device that will shut
well,
the motorcycle
look,
down.
Well, look, it's not as bad if you're going
right.
And we're all stopped. That's
right.
that's different. But see, my
right.
concern is we're all going 60 or 70 on the freeway and a motorcyclist comes right up between us and look, I've looked at a lot of drivers in all the states I've lived in.
Uh-huh.
Some of the California drivers aren't the best. And
all they need to do
is do one little weave to the left or right with a motorcyclist coming up in the middle, and they don't see them, and you're toast.
I completely agree with you, George. And yeah, that so the state law, I believe, last time I checked, it's under, it could be either 25 or 30 miles an hour. Under that is when it's legal to split lanes. Anything above that is technically illegal.
Oh, I've seen them way over that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too. I see it all the time. And if, you know, even if you look twice, like I, since I've ridden motorcycles, I always look twice. It's a habit of mine just because people didn't do it when I used to ride my motorcycle. And I always make it a habit to look twice, but if you look twice at 60 miles, 70 miles an hour, that's a split second, and you might not see somebody coming up on your rearview mirror, side view mirror.
I've got a Lincoln Navigator in L.A., and because I just wanted a big car with people who jump in. I'll tell you a funny story in a second. But I had a motorcyclist hit the window, the rear view, the mirror that sticks out, because it sticks out pretty far, and he's coming right up the middle again, and he smacked right into it. And thank God he wasn't going that fast, but it hit him. I mean, it was his fault.
He's got to hurt a little bit.
Absolutely. But, hey, thanks for the call. I was at a Beverly Hills hotel one night, and I had valet parked my car, my SUV, and I went inside, met some friends. I came out, and I'm in it, and this is a good-sized car. And it's, you know, it's black. And I'm getting in the car, and all of a sudden, my doors are opening. The two passenger doors in the back and the one in the front. And all these guys from Dubai jump in. And they go, take us to the Four Seasons. And I go, what? And they said, take me to the Four Seasons. They thought I was a limo guy, and so I had to kick them out of the car. What I should have done was hit them up for a couple hundred bucks a piece. I bet they would have paid. I really do. I bet they would have paid. West of the Rockies, Stephanie in Yuma, Arizona. Hi, Steph. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thanks for holding so long.
No problem. I just want to say something. I just got back from Vegas, me and my husband, for a week's vacation.
Where'd you stay?
We stayed at the Venetian, well, actually the Palazzo.
That's nice. Palazzo's a great place.
Oh, it's beautiful. Anyway, we live not too far. We're only 5 hours away, and so we've never been to Hoover Dam, so we decided to go to Hoover Dam so we could look at it. And I was shocked. I couldn't believe how low it was.
Oh, it is going
like the
down.
The whole damn wall.
Yeah.
Like the, and if you look at pictures, it's not supposed to be like that.
No, it's going. It's going fast, and that's where Lake Mead is part of, right?
Right. Yeah. And you and we actually spent the first night at the Boulder City Lodge, the Hoover Dam Lodge.
So what happens to Vegas if that thing goes dry?
Exactly, and you could overlook the lake and. The water line is almost to the top of the dam where the road is, and it's so down. I can't even explain.
It's scary down, isn't it?
It is. And so when I got home, it bothered me, so I looked it up. And the town I live in, Yuma, Arizona, I read that because of that dam, our river is small. It used to be a mile wide.
You get water from there?
We do. The Colorado goes right.
Colorado River. It feeds everybody. It feeds Los Angeles, too.
It does. So because our river has shrunk because of Hoover Dam, my husband has a theory on, like, weather. You probably know where I'm going.
We're in trouble. You want me to put you on hold until we come back?
Yeah, sure.
All right, and we'll get your theory next. So I've got an answer to our caller who called and wanted to know about a drug and out-of-body experiences that he had heard. So Garland writes me from Florida. Thank you, Garland, by the way. Says the caller was talking about the animal anesthetic ketamine hydrochloride. It was originally used on humans, especially during childbirth, but they decided there was way too much confusion in patients when used on humans. Dr. John Lilly, who invented the isolation tank for the Air Force back in the 50s to train pilots in weightlessness and isolation, And later, he used this tank for LSD experimentation during the 60s, which he wrote about in his book, Center of the Cyclone. Wrote about his extensive self-experimentation with ketamine in the book, The Scientist. Ketamine is known to produce vivid out-of-body experiences when taken at a dose low enough to enter a twilight state, but not strong enough to produce unconsciousness. Lilly also used ketamine with his friend Timothy Leary during the last days of Leary's life. So, how about that for information? Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast, our final segment here with Open Lines. We'll take one more text message from Tom in a second, but let's go back to Stephanie in Yuma, Arizona, where she witnessed, of course, the Hoover Dam, Lake Mead, and the water is sinking. It's going down. It's drying up. Not good, Stephanie.
No, if you've never been, you need to go. It's quite the sight.
It's scary. Man,
it is. And I went to go see the dam because it was such a good monument to go see, if you haven't been there. But I ended up not really enjoying the dam and being worried about the water.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, your husband has a theory about climate change. What is that?
He does. Well, when I came home and we were reading about the Hoover Dam and how it affected the Colorado River, and it goes right through our town, we learned that the river was a mile wide in our town. It was green and lush. People would come here, in the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
An oasis. And so my husband thinks dams, by diverting water and regulating water and putting water elsewhere in some places, the evaporation process with clouds will rain more where there's a dam before. If you check before and after the stats, you'll have more lightning storms near dams than before they were built. But then at the same time, there's droughts in places where there really wasn't a drought before, where the water has been lessened.
Yes.
He's wondering, if that's a part of the evaporation process and climate change.
Oh, probably is. We need to get desalinization plants going and pump water and fill that dam up.
Well, and I don't understand with technology and, like you say, the desalinization, why are we giving water to Los Angeles? And
because I'm here.
Well, I understand, but you guys have the ocean.
I know. They should have desalinization plants all along the ocean. We should be we should have pipelines pumping water to you.
Exactly. I don't understand.
Well, maybe some new president will do that, whoever that may be. Somebody with a idea of what to do. Okay, hey, thanks for the call. Text message, what do you have for us, Tom?
By the way, your movie is called An Innocent Man.
The one with Selleck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
So this was from Bobby in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hey, George, do you think animals can reason?
Of course. I think animals are brilliant. They sit back and look. Look, we found out that apes used tools. That's mm-hmm. reasoning. You ever look in the eyes of a cat or a dog when they look back at you? They're reasoning.
No, but you know how I know they reason? Because when Freddy won't eat a certain food, they have to reason to know they don't like
Freddy,
it.
Freddy the little dog.
The awesome dog.
And he gets happy when he sees you and he jumps around.
I give him food like that. That he's supposed to have.
Cute little dog. Okay.
Cool.
Next up, let's go to Rock Hill, South Carolina. Barry's with us. Hey, Barry.
Hello there, George. And I'm telling you, I just told Tommy. I said, you two are the funniest characters. You need to put together a stand-up comedy act and have a regular date in Vegas one weekend a month.
Are you telling me to date Tommy and take him to Vegas? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, but no Viagra. You can't carry Viagra.
Oh, no, not at all. That's sick.
Anyway. Gosh knows I've been having such fun listening to the show lately, and I've got to tell you, night before last, the lady on that second 2 hours, MJ or
MJ Evans, we called her Chris.
Okay, yes. What that's exactly the way I think about this universe of ours. I think that we are them and they are us.
Oh, that's true. Absolutely.
I'm telling you, George, we're just happen to be Homo sapien is the dominant hominid on Earth at this time, and we've just got our days numbered, and they might be a lot shorter than a lot of people think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something's going to go wrong with nuclear weapons, and it's going to start something.
Oh, I hope not, but you may be right. It's happened before. I'm convinced it happened during biblical times.
It sure did. And
you've been out to the theater in Asheville?
Well, now, as a matter of fact, I was just talking to Tommy about that. I'm going to be in Asheville within the next few weeks. I had already talked with them 3 or 4 times, and my front row, I'm like Bob Uecker. I must be on the front row.
You're going to be right up there.
I tell you what.
Balcony seats are starting.
I love hearing you talk about clowns, too, because I was like you, and you were right. Emmett Kelly was the greatest of all the clowns that ever existed.
He was fun.
Yes. Yes, I had mixed emotions about clowns because one of them did kind of scare me at a live function, and you know, they do anything they want to and get away with it.
Yeah, they do. I don't like the way they blow up balloons, then they squeeze them into puppies, and they make them into animals, and then they look at you with those beady eyes.
Yes, they can be demonic and get away with. A situation.
I don't like. Okay, give us a report though when you get out to the theater.
Okay, I will. And good to talk to you, buddy. And yeah, I can't wait to see you. And anyway, talk to you soon.
Okay, my friend. That's talking about our Asheville, North Carolina event. You can get all the details at coasttocoastam.com. And I do believe, Tom, that this is going to be our last live stage show event for the year, isn't it? I don't think I have any more planned, right?
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
Asheville's the last live stage show this year, right?
For this year, but next year is going to be a year.
We're going
a year.
By the way, I'm going to challenge you.
Me.
I will donate $100 to your favorite charity.
Okay.
It may not seem like a lot of money, but it is. If you would, and I'll buy it, do a hula hoop on video, and we put it on the website.
Not even close.
Come on.
Not even close.
For your favorite charity?
I will give $200 to my favorite charity for not doing it.
All right.
Would you?
For me, do a hula hoop that you would donate $100 to my favorite, like Children's International
whatever
or something?
You want. Yeah.
I would do that.
Let's do it.
You know, you set it all up.
Let's do it.
Okay.
You have to do the whole hula hoop. Like till it falls down.
Which will be very fast with me. I'll do it. Mike in Livermore, California. Welcome to the show. Hey, Mike.
Oh, George. I've met Tommy. That's not going to happen.
It would have been interesting.
Yeah. He's like me. He's not built for a hula hoop.
No.
Believe me.
No, he's not.
Oh, wonderful talk to you, George. Back from my road trip. Last time I talked to you, I was in Oklahoma.
You're back. You were thinking of moving.
Well, that still may happen. Well, it's definitely going to happen. I can't afford to live in California. But, no, I just moved my daughter and my grandson back to North Carolina. And she got married that week. And everything's wonderful. She just talked to her yesterday. She's in her new house.
Excellent.
So, everything is great there, and just...
Your Oakland Raiders decide to move yet?
Nah, it doesn't matter. I'm going to move.
Yeah, but move to a town that has a football team.
Yeah. No, well, anywhere back east or Midwest, I'll be able to drive to games. I'll catch them.
Not St. Louis.
Here. Well, we'll have to hook up for a Detroit game eventually.
Oh, yeah. They should be pretty good this year.
Yeah, I think it's the same with the Raiders. I think that would be a good matchup. In fact, I don't know who's playing the Thanksgiving game, but that would be a good one.
Yeah, it sure is. How's your mother?
Oh, my mom's doing great.
Good.
She's wonderful. My brother hooked me up with the flight back from North Carolina. He worked for American Airlines. So, and my brother is such an awesome guy. He spent the whole day on the phone with me. Texting me, calling me, saying, okay, you're number 4 in line for the standby flight. Don't get that, the next one there. And I'll tell you what, George, that makes all the difference in the world with your flying standby.
Oh,
I know you wouldn't know about that. You just fly first.
No, you know what? I don't. I go coach all the time. Now, I fly.
How do you,
I fly enough on Southwest where I get A-list. You know how they have ABC?
Oh, yeah, right.
So I fly enough where I'm guaranteed one of the first 30, but I don't go first class. Heck no. Never did. I've never been one of those kind of guys.
What's awesome about my brother's thing is for a flight out of Charlotte direct to San Francisco cost me $112, and that was on a four-day notice.
That's not bad. Let me take one more quick call. Idana in California, welcome to the show. I only have a minute for you, so Idana, go ahead. You there?
I'm here. Are you doing?
Woo! Yeah, scared the living daylights out of me.
Listen, okay. Back in 75, I lived in a little town where these, I'll call them outlaws, bikers would come in. And so they came into the bar, and so we proceeded to take our party down to the porch, down on the house. And when we were leaving town, our guitar picker got shot in the hand.
Oh, my God.
A stray bullet. Well, yesterday, now this is 45 years. And his name was...
Hurry. Only got 30 seconds.
Anyway, my dog, I was walking my dog down to the store yesterday, and he peed all over their helmets, the same biker club.
He urinated on their helmets? Well, maybe the... I waited to the end for that as my final call. Boy, can I pick them.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. In the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Morris, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.